Can we start? Okay. Welcome, good afternoon. My name is Marco Russo. I'm here today to talk about how to improve your Power Pivot data models for Microsoft Power BI. Before starting, I'd like to know how many of you already use Power Pivot and Power BI. How many of you already use Power BI? Very few people, okay. I think you will understand how to prepare the data models that you have today for Power Pivot. As I said, my name is Marco Russo. You can find my email address on this slide. You can send me an email if you will have a question that I will not be able to answer during the session because of the time. Visit also our website sqlbi.com to find articles and tools, especially for using DAX in Power Pivot. What are the goals today? Today we have to understand what are the general best practices for creating data models in Power Pivot, and what are specific best practices for tools like Power View and Q&A. Power View is a tool that you can use in Excel, but we will see that there are specific features that are available only in Power BI, and we have to adapt the data model in order to get the benefit of these features. And we will also see how to create a good data model for using Q&A, which is another feature that we have in Power BI. So in case you didn't see this feature before, we will see a quick tour today. Our goal is not to show the features of Power BI. Our goal is to understand how to shape your data model in Power Pivot in the best way. Why this is important? Because the Power Pivot data model is the foundation of Power BI. It contains the data structure and the data that you want to analyze. The data structure means the set of tables, columns, relationships, and measures. Measures are written in DAX. The other things are concepts that comes from a relational domain, fundamentally. You don't need to know MDX, multidimensional, and so on. So if you come from a knowledge about SQL Server and a relational database, that's good enough to start with Power BI. But as we will see, there are a few data modeling techniques that better fits a Power Pivot data model. Data, of course, the content of the tables, and we have also a set of metadata in the data model that describe how to format data, how to manage the understanding of the content of your model for a few features like Q&A. So in any case, having a good Power Pivot data model is a good idea because, first of all, of the performance and the usability of your Power Pivot data model. Even if you don't use Power BI and you just use Excel and the pivot table, 99% of the content that you will see today is important for you. And of course, if you use other features in Power BI, this is more important. So we fundamentally will see best practices for Power Pivot, then for Power View, and then for Q&A. And let's start with the first part of this session, which is Power Pivot. The first thing that you have to do when you design a data model in Power Pivot is finding the right normalization. If you have a fully normalized data model in SQL Server, it is not a good idea to copy all the tables in Power Pivot. And it is not a good idea having a single flat table like you are used if you know Excel in Excel. The good idea is using a star schema. In a star schema, the main concept is not about the foreign key cascading relationships between dimensions that produces the snowflake schema. The important concept: one entity, one table. What does it mean? You have products, category, subcategory, model, color. All these are attributes of products. So the idea is product is one table. because it's one entity. An attribute of an entity is a column of that table. A customer is another entity, which is independent of the product and will have its own table. This is the first concept that you have to absorb for using Power Pivot in a good way. Because if you do that, not only you get good performance, you also get a good usability of your data model. So instead of boring you with the slides, it's a good idea if we start to create a data model and we take a look at the important concepts here. So I have a blank workbook here, so I start a new Power Pivot data model and I connect it to a SQL Server database. Now, if I connect, for example, in my SQL Server here, and I connect to AdventureWorks, the standard database, I have, in this case, a lot of tables, many, many tables. And as you see, we have many tables for employee. We have also many tables for the products. Look how many tables for the products. So we can certainly start getting all these tables. It should work, but it is not a good idea. The best thing that you can do is to prepare data for Power Pivot. Today you also have Power BI. We don't have enough time to see Power BI, but if you look at the other sessions about Power BI, a good idea is if you have this data model and you don't have anyone that can produce views for you to make it easier to import data in the right shape, you can do this job with Power Query. So instead of connecting to my standard AdventureWorks, I connect to another database, which is AdventureWorks DW Data Warehouse, which is a database that has a dimensional model. So we have a lower number of tables, and most important, we have usually one table per entity, with one exception, products. We have three tables for the products, but this is just to show how a Snowflake schema works. This is a demo database. It is a good idea if you denormalize product, product category, subcategory into a single table. So let me get the fact internet sales table. When you have a star schema, when you just click on select related tables, you obtain all the lookup tables that are connected to the fact internet sales in this case. And as you see, we have the currency, the customer, the date, the product, and the promotion. Of course, we didn't import a category and subcategory. That's fine for this demo. I'm not interested in getting other tables. So this is a good idea. I just get everything in this way. I get all the columns and I import everything. That's fine. It just works. At this point, I can already navigate into my data model. So I have imported my data model with several tables, and I can see that I also created the relationships between these tables, and so I can see my data model here. So is this the right data model to use? It just works, but it's not optimal for a number of reasons that I want to show you. For example, first of all, we have too much data. I mean, if you look at the content of this database, in the DIN product table, for example, we have a number of columns that contains description in several languages, which is certainly a good thing because many people from all over the world can see the description in their language. But if I don't have to use these languages, I'm paying the price in memory for the content of all these columns. So since in this example, I just want to analyze data just in English, so I can, first of all, remove all these descriptions. By deleting the column, I'm not only deleting the column now, I'm deleting the column in the following refreshes of the table, and I'm not paying the cost for these columns. This is pretty obvious, but there is another advantage. When I start doing a pivot table, so browsing in data, if I have a lower number of columns, I have also a lower number of attributes to navigate here, which, as you see, is not... I mean, I can certainly use a larger monitor in my office, but as you see, if I have too many columns, it's not very usable, right? Another thing is that, this is true for example, my English product name. At this point, I can also get, for example, the fact internet sales show me the total product cost, for example, and I have a measure now. I can see some data in this way. The problem is that if you see also in the fact internet sales table, I have many columns that I will never use because I see a product key. What is a product key? It's a number, it's a surrogate key. If I click on product key, I see a number appearing here, which is the sum of this column, which is a number. Because by default, any column that has a number can be used as a measure in a pivot table. So this can be confusing for the user. There are no problems in performance, but just confusing for the user. I cannot remove this column, but I can hide this column to the user because the user doesn't use this column in a meaningful way. So what I can do is providing the right set of columns for the user, which means that, for example, for the fact internet sales, all the surrogate keys here can be hidden. I can hide from client tools these columns. These columns are required because they define the relationships with other tables, but I can hide them. Look at this sales order number. When you will use the sales order number? For example, because people tell me, Marco, I would like to do this. I want to go in the pivot table. I want to filter this. So for example, I go in Quick Explore. And I look at, for example, the promotion and English promotion category and so on. So this, I switch this in the filter and I see a number here. At a certain point, I say, oh, this is an interesting number. And I want to see which are the single product, the single order that generated these values. And I put the list there. This is one technique that you can use. However, remember that you can also use another one, which is you double click here and you see the list of rows that are in the fact table that contains the data that generated the number that you see in that cell. Now, if you really need this number in one of these two visualizations, you actually need that column. But remember one thing. If you have a table like this one, and you have 1 million of rows, and you have 900,000 of unique order numbers, that single column is easily 90% of the size of the entire table. Because the compression of the data in memory is made column by column. So a column that contains a small number of unique values is a cheap column that is also quick to query, whereas a column that contains a unique value for each row is very expensive. Do you want to keep this column? That's fine, but remember, as soon as the model grows, it is not a good idea. There are techniques to optimize that. There are several articles about that, several best practices. I don't want to go too much in detail. Many of you already use Power Pivot, so maybe you already have an idea, but fundamentally, one technique is to split this number into different parts so that you will use them only in the drill-through feature in different columns. So it's a question of the reporting tool to combine the columns together, but you in this way can reduce the number of unique values that you have in a column. So the idea is that we have to use the right number of columns. We have to use the right name of the columns. As you have seen, importing names like the names of the columns in the original database could be not so user-friendly. You have seen these names that have no space in the middle and could contain some particular names that are technical names. You should just hide the columns that are not interesting for the user and use the right name for the role that each column has. This is important also for another thing that we will see later, which is Q&A. Because when you start typing English questions or maybe other languages will be supported in the future, querying your data, you will see that having the right name is very important. So other important considerations are, if you have columns that contain data that you will never query, just remove these columns. Remember, removing a column means that you cannot access to the data, whereas hiding a column means that the user don't see the data, but you can use that column in any calculation, and you pay the cost for that column. So, another consideration is about pictures. I will talk about pictures again in Power View, but the idea is that you can import a picture in the Power Pivot data model. If you have 10 pictures, that's fine. But if you have 10,000 products and you want to import one picture for each product, you are going to import 10,000 pictures, which could be expensive because these pictures today are loaded in memory. Not really nice. Now, the idea of reducing the size of the columns, the size in terms of the number of unique values for the columns, is true especially for the relationships. If you remember, I started saying use the star schema is the right thing to do. But let's examine what happens if you don't do that. For example, imagine that you have order header and order details. So you have two tables, and you have a few attributes that are related to the order header, like, for example, the customer and the date. But other dimensions are related to the product, to the order details, like, for example, the product. So a common design is the one that you see here. This is the common design of any normalized database. This is normalization. Third normal form is okay. However, in Power Pivot, there is an issue. If you remember what I said before, the order number is an expensive column. When you use a high granularity column in a dimension, you are looking for trouble. You're looking for a way to call me to solve your performance issue, which is fine for me, but maybe not for you. So the idea is that once you filter by date, and you want to see the products that you sold in that day, you are forcing the engine to get to apply first a filter over the orders, getting the list of the orders, the list of values of this order, and apply a filter on another table. This is much slower than using another design, which is this one. I simply have two fat tables in the dimensional model, and I duplicate the information about the date and the customer in the order detail table. It's a simple view that you can design. So instead of importing order header and order detail like they are in your data model, just create a view, just create a transformation in Power Query. Because in this way, you will avoid during your queries to pay the price to transfer the filter from the order header to the order detail. When you have 1,000 orders, that's fine. 10,000 orders, nobody see the difference. Try to reach 200,000 orders or more. On a server, try to reach 2 million of orders, and you will see the difference. You will see there is a decrease in performance that, depending on the hardware that you have, can start at 250,000 values or 2 million values. So depending on the hardware that you have. It's a long question about the hardware because the engine is very optimized. But at the end of the day, if you use this data model, you are not removing any capability in analytics, but you are just obtaining better performance, more predictable performance, and this data model works much, much better in all the other features in Power BI. Now, there is another concept that in reality comes from analysis services multidimensional, and unfortunately has an effect here, and this is better to see in a demo. And the problem is the following. Consider this. I have a data model where I imported Adventure Works data. So in this data model, I have this content. I have fundamentally a data table, and this data table has been designed to be easy to use. To make it easy to use, we created a hierarchy. What is a hierarchy? It's a selection of attributes that makes the user able to navigate into the hierarchy. So you open the year, then the quarter, then the month, then the day, in a very easy way. So the user can do this. In the pivot table, you can do this thing. Oh, sorry, enable content. So, okay, let's start from the beginning. So let's create a new one. If I put a measure here, for example, sales amount, and I put in the dim date, if I didn't create the hierarchy, I could select the year, then the month, come on, then the month, and so on. But every time I want to drill down, I have to look at the right attribute in this list. So instead of using this approach, you create hierarchies that make it easier to navigate into the data. So for example, in this example, I have the year as the first level. If I click on a year, I see the semester, quarter, month, and day. Drill down, right? Now, I created this hierarchy by simply getting the columns that I had, that in that case contained the number of semester, the number of quarter, the name of the month, and so on, and I put this in a hierarchy. Now, consider this. What is January? Oh, not here, sorry. Let me go here and open 2007, 1 January. If you just look at January, January is the same name under 2005 and under 2006 and under 2007 and so on. We call this hierarchy an unnatural hierarchy because the same name can have different parents. So the same name, January, can be children of 2005, 2006. So by looking at the name of the month, I'm not sure about what is the year. Now, when this happens, the engine that receives a query in MDX, remember that Excel runs query in MDX, has to do a particular operation that is much more expensive than the one that is required if instead of using this type of hierarchy, you use another hierarchy, which, as you see, has a much more descriptive content. And, most important, every name is absolutely unique regardless of the parent. What does it mean? If I look at January in under 2007, if I say, oh, I like this month, or I want to examine this month, even if I don't see, because I scrolled down, if I don't see what is in the previous rows, I can understand what does it mean. Not only I can understand, the engine can understand, and it is much faster to solve the query. Now, you may think that for a small Power Pivot data model, why you are talking about that? Okay, look at this. When you combine your hierarchy with other attributes that you have in your data model, there could be problems. For example, in this case, I have after the date, after the calendar, I put the DIN geography city, but here I also put the last name of the customer and the product name. So I have date, last name of the customer, product name, and I put the city here, and if I put the city out and put the city again here, the performance are pretty much good. So look, but this is the natural hierarchy, the right one. Now let's try with the unnatural hierarchy. As you see, I don't have here the city. Now if I put the city, so I do the same operation that I did before, I put the city here, I'm waiting. Waiting. Look. Waiting. If you look at Task Manager, it is running and it is increasing memory. Not good. Let me ask, I stop this process because this is very dangerous. After 25 seconds on this machine that has 32 gigabytes of RAM, maybe I will see the answer. But remember, I'm working with a 3 megabytes database. So this is not a common issue. You have to combine the hierarchy, the unnatural hierarchy with other attributes. But I have seen this happening in the real world with real customers very angry for that. So the solution is use a natural hierarchy. When you define a hierarchy in the data model, be careful to choose attributes that have a unique value regardless of the parent. So if you put, instead of putting the name of the month, put name and year. And you say, Barco, but I want to put the month on the columns and the year on the month on the columns and the year on the rows, or the opposite. In that case, I will create one attribute that has only the month without the year, and I will make this month visible here, for example, this one. But I will create another attribute that has month and year, and I will hide this attribute as a regular attribute, and I will put this attribute in the hierarchy. This is the best practice to use. But the important thing, remember that the hierarchy could be dangerous for performance because of a complex interaction of MDX and other things. So this is the idea. As you see, the red ones are the bad ones, the green ones are the right choices. So in the slide you will see the recap of this concept. Naming convention, use the meaningful names. Avoid using all caps, avoid using Pascal casing. Put the spaces in the names. I know that could be boring when you write DAX, but fundamentally it is better, much better for the end user. Avoid acronyms unless they are so widely used in the company that if you don't use acronym, nobody understands the sentence of the acronym. So the consistency has priority. The important thing, if you use one name in one place, use always the same name. And this is important, especially for Q&A. When you have a column, you have formatting that you can use. Many people make confusion about this, so I want to clarify this part. When you have a column here, for example, in the fact internet sales, you see that you have currency and currency. But what is the difference? The data type is the definition of how this value is stored in memory and how it is considered in any calculation. So there is a difference between using a currency and a decimal number and a whole number. But especially between currency and decimal number, the decimal number is a floating point value. The currency is like the money in SQL. And when you apply operation like division, like ratios and other things, you may obtain different results in terms of rounding. Don't choose the data type because of the size, because as I said before, the size of a column depends on the number of unique values you have in that column. But choose the data type according to the logic of the calculation that you want to implement. Whereas you have to choose the format according to the way you want to display data. So it's perfectly fine that you will use, for example, currency for floating point values, or you will use a percentage for a currency data type, depending on what you want to obtain as a result in terms of the logic of the calculation. So remember this distinction. Every column has this, whereas when you define a measure, the measure usually inherit the data types, the format of the sorry. I wanted not to do this one. Okay. Inherited the format of the column, but you can always change the format of a measure, but you cannot change the data type. The data type of a measure depends on the expression, on DAX expression that you write, whereas the format depends on what you choose. There is a default that is automatically chosen, but you can change it for any measure. Okay. Unfortunately, we don't have a dynamic format. For those of you that are used to analysis services multidimensional, you can define format string that changes for every cell, for every combination. This is not possible, unfortunately, in Power Pivot. You can also set a few advanced properties that are important. One is the summarized by, and the other is the data category. These properties will be useful later, so just take a look at where they are placed. The summarized by is a property that you see in the advanced tab. So you have to go here, and for each column you can specify what is the operation that will be used by Power View when you choose that column without having a measure on that column. For example, imagine this. If you go in the dim date, the year here is a number. However, I will never summarize, I will never sum 2 years. Doesn't make sense. So it makes sense that I say, okay, I want to not summarize this one. Whereas for a fact table, in a fact table, the customer key, which is a number, in this case, doesn't make sense to sum. But instead of using do not summarize, I could use distinct count. If I choose the customer key, what I would like to do is, for example, counting how many unique customers made a purchase in a particular period of time or in a particular city. So these are the other two properties that are important to set. As I said, hide technical columns, hide the information that you use to sort the data in your data model, hide the surrogate keys in a fact table, and hide or rename potentially misleading columns. For example, if you, for calculation reasons, denormalized the total order amount in any detail row, because you wanted to use that information to do some classification, please hide the column that you do not want to expose to the user. This is an important concept. Okay, so these are good ideas for any type of usage of a Power Pivot data model. But when you start using Power View, there are a few properties that are usually used just by Power View. And one important container of properties for Power View is the table behavior. What is the table behavior? In order to understand this, let me show you one thing. If I created in this example a simple data model and I go in Excel and I create a new Power View data model here, in a few seconds I will have my canvas where I can put my data, and when I choose any table or column here, I fundamentally choose what I want to put in the canvas. So, for example, I can ask for a specific product name and I create a list of product names in my Power View report. Now, I don't want to create this one. I just wanted to say that if I double click this one, nothing happened. If I double click the table, nothing happened. However, I can control what happened in certain conditions in Power View. And to do that, I have a few properties in the Power Pivot window. For example, if I say, well, the dim product has a few important columns, which are the product subcategory and the product name. Or better, let's do this in this other model, which is more complete. I have many more. Let me close this one. It's always dangerous during a demo keeping two workbooks open, because as you see, this is not starting now. So funny. Usually when this happens, I do not see. Oh, it works. Okay, good. So let me get one demo file here, not this one. Let me get this one. Okay, that's good. Let's consider this one. This is a more complete example that is already good for other Power View demos that I will show you in a minute. So I'm opening a Power Pivot data model. I want to show you that there are a few properties in the Power Pivot data model that are used specifically by Power View visualization. Come on. Okay, Power Pivot. I will explain this in a moment. And here, okay, so for example, if I go here in this one, countries, this is not the best table for this demo, but the idea is the following. If I create a new Power View canvas, I can define what happened when I double click a table by going in this default field set properties table. So for example, I can say, well, the country name is the only name that you should show, or the country name and the flag are the important fields to show. If I click OK, as soon as I go in Power View, so I go back in Excel and I insert a new Power View canvas, click Insert and Power View, I create a new worksheet, completely empty, and if I double click my countries table, you see that I create a table that has exactly the two columns that I chose with the order of columns that I selected. So this is an interesting feature to make it easier for the user to look at the more important data. Another thing that you can do is to go in this table behavior that, as you see, allows you to define a few other information. For example, what is the default label, which is the most important column for this visualization? How it is used, the default label? If I go back to Excel and I switch this visualization from table to card, in a card visualization, as you see, there could be one highlighted attribute, which is the one that you choose as the default label. Now, the default label in this case is the only one, but if I had many other attributes, you would see all the others with a smaller font. As you know, in Power View, you cannot actually define the exact font size and position of all the elements, but fundamentally, you can control what happened when you switch to this visualization. And the same selection for the picture happen in case you have different columns that contain different pictures, not this case now. However, the table behavior requires you to define a row identifier. So a row identifier is a column that contains a unique value for each row of the table. In case you don't have one, you need to create one before using these other features. One side effect of this row identifier is the ability to use the keep unique rows. But to show you the keep unique rows, I have to create a new data model. So I import my AdventureWorks again. I will do this as soon as I can. So I go to my AdventureWorks DW. I choose list of tables, fact internet sales, related tables, finish, import all the data, and go to our DIM customer. And as you see, the DIM customer has first name, last name, and other data. Now consider this. Every customer has a unique ID, but I may have different customers that have the same last name. There are many Adams. Now what happened when I browse this data in Power View? If I create a Power View report, and I put the last name in a table, I will see only one row with Adam. But this is the sum of all the customers who are called Adams as the last name. If you think about this, there are certain columns in a table that could be not aggregated at all, because fundamentally, aggregating people with the last name doesn't make sense from an analytical perspective. But what is happening here is that I have only one Adams, and if I put the sum of internet sales, I will see that I have a total for all the atoms together. Now, in order to solve this problem, there is a feature that unfortunately is not perfect, in my opinion, and I will show you why in a moment. I can say, well, the customer key is my row identifier. Once you choose a row identifier, you can choose which column has to be used in the keep unique rows mode, which means that if I keep customer key here, the zoom is not good, oops, okay, that I will not use the zoom for this because otherwise I have to go here and I choose, for example, the first name and the last name. What does it mean? As soon as I click OK, if I go back to Power View now, I will see that now I have one row for every Adams that has a different customer key, which is fine. But what happened in a pivot table? Unfortunately, a pivot table does not use this setting. So if I create a pivot table here, and I use the last name of customer here, as you see, only one Adams. And you cannot change the behavior of the pivot table. To me, this is a problem, and I don't know if I should suggest you to use this feature. However, if your users want to use Power View and are aware of the problem in a pivot table, then yes, you can. But remember the potential confusion that this setting can generate if users have both pivot tables and Power View. Okay, so we have seen a default field set, default label in the car view, images. Oh, there is an interesting thing about the images. In the example that I quickly shown you before, Europe data, as you see, we have here this nice view where every country has a flag. Imagine for a product, the picture of the product. And for example, you can go here, you can click one, and you can click this other, and you can highlight one of these. But in any case, whatever you choose, you always have, if it works, you always have the picture here that works. Now, what is this picture? I don't have this picture in the data model in reality. I simply created an URL that contains the picture. So the picture is not in the model, it's loaded from the webs. However, how can I do that? First, I have to use this data category setting. So you select a column that contains a certain content, and you can specify a data category information. For example, you may say, this is an address of a customer. This is the description of a product. The data category is very important for other tools that are still not here today, but there is one particular value of the category that is used now, that is this image URL. The others are not currently used, but could be used in the future, and are actually already used in a certain suggested related data wizard that you have in the Power Pivot ribbon. So use the data category in a good way, and of course, for the images could be good. There is a problem. If you publish the Power Pivot data model on Power BI, the feature that I've shown you now will not work, because for security reason, Power BI do not read data from external websites. So it only shows you the images if the images are embedded within the workbook. So you have to import the flag, in this case, in another column. And if you want to do that, there is a Power Query transformation that does exactly this. You pass the URL and they read the image and import the image in the Power Pivot data model. And so this is the recap. Do you want to keep the URL or the image in memory? The problem is that in memory it costs more, but if you have a small number of pictures, maybe it works the effort. It is the only thing that today works in Power BI, unfortunately. Now, if we publish this workbook to Power BI, what happens? Well, the Europe data example that I shown you before is published on my Power Pivot, or my Power BI tenant. What does it mean? This website, internet, working, good. This is a Power BI subscription that I have, in which I placed a few workbooks to show a few demos. And as you see, you have the preview of the content of each of these workbooks. One of these is this Europe data, and is fundamentally the same workbook that I shown you before. And I want to show you this now, just because we have the ability to see the content by using the same silver-like visualization that you have in Excel. Excel has a silver-like component to show data in Power View. And when you do that, the rendering is actually the same. And if you go in the countries info visualization, it seems the same. But even if it seems the same, it is not the same. As you see, external pictures cannot be displayed in Power View sheets in Office 365. This is the unsupported feature. And this is the, if I imported the image, it would have worked. However, when you are here, you can also switch to HTML5 mode, which means that instead of using Silverlight, I'm using a rendering engine that produces the result in HTML5, which means that this visualization works also on a tablet device, on an iPad, on a Surface, on an Android. And as you see, all these features are supported now. It is almost in pair with the Silverlight version. But from the data model point of view, fundamentally, the only thing that you can consider is the image. The only difference is getting the image embedded or not to use them in this visualization. So this is the only difference for Power BI. Now, I have another example here, which is the forecast one. What is the forecast? The forecast is a feature that is available only in is available only in Power BI, and it works in this way. Let me show you one second. I have a workbook that contains the number of new users that register that subscribe to a service. Okay, so we have some data that have been plotted in this chart in Power View. As you see, we fundamentally see data at a month granularity level or at a week granularity level. So fundamentally, we have 1 point per week in the chart above and 1 point per month in the chart below. The content is very simple. Fundamentally, we have a table with dates. We have a table, a configuration table, and this is the actual content. Let me see. Now, this is another one for maybe in the Power Pivot data model. We have the visibility over the data. I just want to show you that there is nothing particularly complex here. We fundamentally have this number of subscribers for each day. So the fact table is originally a simple table, day, number, nothing strange. And then, of course, we can aggregate data by month, by week, depending on the date visualization that we want to use. Now, if I publish this workbook to Power BI, to my Power BI site, I can see the same content with the Silverlight visualization, which is the same that I have in Excel, or in the HTML5 visualization. So fundamentally, if I go here and I choose new users, I have to add this to the trusted list anyway, and I click on this button. This button will not be displayed if I use a computer that doesn't have Silverlight, because automatically it switches to this. And as you see, now I can do something that is not possible in Excel or in the Silverlight visualization. I can try to predict the future. You click on that small button and you see the prediction. And you see the same prediction here by week. So I don't have to do anything to obtain this feature. However, there are a couple of things that I have to control in the data model, and I will explain in a moment which ones. Just the two words of this feature, about this feature. As you see, I have the ability to specify what is the seasonality of the data. For example, I have a seasonality by year, and as you see, the prediction changed in this case. I can display what is the predicted error, how confident is the system. And so for those of you that know something about distribution and statistics, one sigma is designed in this way. So there is 95% of chances, no, 68% of chances of the expected values to be within this range. You can increase this and you have 95%, but as you see, 95%, you have, you know, a much wider band. And what is interesting, you can also do the opposite. So you can, for example, go here and do what is called the hindcast. So fundamentally, I go in the past and I say, well, show me the prediction that you would have generated starting in this date without knowing what would have happened in the future. And I can compare in this way the prediction with the actual value. Okay? Now, as you see, this feature makes sense if we are dealing with time. So the x-axis of our data, our chart, has to contain a date. And there are a few limitations about that. There should be a date. Even if I have 1 point per month, I cannot write January 2014. I have to put there a date, any date of January. For example, the first day of the month. And every data that I want to plot there has to have the same value. So in order to obtain this behavior, you have to do a simple thing, fundamentally. You have to go in your date table and you have to add this. So instead of using January 2011, I had to use a date that is the same date for every day that belongs to the same month or to the same week here. Okay? And I used a DAX function to do that, but the transformation is not what is interesting. The problem is that if you don't realize that you have to use a column that has a type date, it seems that it doesn't work because it doesn't show you the button to do the prediction or to do all the animation that you have seen before. So for the forecasting, you have to use a column of date data type. There are more information at this URL. You will get the URL in the slides that you will be able to download from the website. And so this is a bigger visualization of what we can obtain. Q&A is the last part of this presentation and is probably the most interesting one, even if I understand that in Europe, where the English is the main language only in a small number of countries, could be not so interesting like, for example, in the United States. Because today, Q&A only works in English. However, remember that it could be supported in other languages in the future because the engine has been built to not be tied only to English. So today it is still not available in other languages, but this could change in the future. What is Q&A? For those of you that never seen Q&A. Q&A is a feature that is available only in a Power BI site. And it works in this way. Let me go loader.com. I start on my site, a demo, Power BI. And first of all, this is my content of the Power BI site. And as you see, I have here this Ask with the Power BI Q&A, this link. When you click here, you go in this user interface where you can type a question in English. For example, show me how many medals Italy won. Italy won in 2006. And as you see, several things happen. Fundamentally, the engine selected one workbook that probably contained data that I'm requesting. And my question is converted into something that can be understood in this sentence. So you see a translation of your sentence in another sentence that corresponds to what the engine is doing. Now, in this particular case, probably I'm using a wrong show medals. Show medals sorted by discipline, for example, okay? And as you see, what happened is that you see a list of data. However, what I'm looking at now is not only a table. I could see also data displayed in a chart by year. Show gold medals by sport, discipline, and gender. I'm not able to find. Okay, let's do a map, and you can also force this. But in theory, depending on the sentence that you write, you can also obtain a particular visualization. Now, this is the classical demo, but in reality, how it works and how can we control that? So instead of using a model that we haven't seen, let's start with a simpler data model that we can easily control. So let's start with this data model that has a very few number of tables because we have these two tables. We have customers and vehicles. We have four customers, Marco, Alberto, Robert, and Duke. And we have six vehicles. Each vehicle has a customer. Very simple. A vehicle has a customer. A customer owns one or more vehicles. Cars, we could say. But I'm using vehicle because I don't want to use cars. I will show you why in a moment. Every car has a name, has a manufacturer, and has a year of purchase. These are the information that I have. Now, I can, these two tables have been imported into a Power Pivot data model. And I have, in this data model, a relationship between the two tables. So this is very important. Remember, we have the two tables, we have a relationship. And also consider that we have these columns have been hidden. So as you see, I try to follow all the best practices that I have shown you in a very simple data model. Just two tables, a small number of columns. So we can remember all the details of this data model. Now, if I save this data model to the Power BI site, I can query this data model with the Q&A query. And for example, I can type show customer. However, at this point, as you see, I could restrict the search of the answers in a particular workbook. For the demo, I prepared several workbooks with several steps of changes that I will make to the model. I did this because if I have to make a few changes, I have to do operation that will take too long. And so I want to show you in 10 minutes all the steps. So I will start from Q&A 01, which is the model that has exactly the content that you have seen before. So if I type show customers, this is the result that I obtain. I had the list of the customers. If I type, instead of show customer, I type show vehicles, I see the list of vehicles. Fine. If I type show Marco vehicles, I see only two cars. If you remember now, I have Marco, I have vehicles, there is the relationship, there is a query behind that is filtering data by customer. And when you type this question, you can see, show Marco vehicles. You see that in the blue, there is an explanation of what is happening. As soon as I put the S, something changes. Because this is the plural and it is understood. If I type show vehicles owned by Marco, I see the right result. But I can also see that in reality, not everything is understood by the engine. Because owned by is not recognized as a valid verb. I mean, since there are no other entities in the data model, it's easy that the answer, the likely answer, corresponds to what I need. But if I had more tables, more names, it would be much harder. Then consider another thing. I wrote Marco. Marco is not the name of a column. It's the content of a table. It's the name that I have in the list of customers. So actually, the dictionary that you use is not only the list of column names, but is the content of the data that you can use. So the dictionary used by Q&A is Y. Now, the problem is we are not recognized owns. So I would like to tell to my model that a sentence like owned by Marco can be understood in an easy way. And moreover, I would like to understand cars. If I type show cars, nothing happened. I mean, I can see vehicles, but in reality, it's just a guess. In a more complex data model, it wouldn't work. So in order to... Sorry, I had to check if... it switched... Let me fix this to 01. I clicked on this button, so now it doesn't change this name automatically. If I type cars now, it doesn't work. Correct. Because there is no way it can relate car to vehicle. So, okay, this is my initial point. So, how can I improve this? My data model for Q&A has a few information that I can provide for the Q&A. You have to go in the diagram view, and in the diagram view, in the advanced tab, you click on synonyms. When you click on synonyms, you see here for each entity an alternative name. Like, for example, the ability to specify the vehicle can be also a car. As soon as I put this, I can also do another thing. I can say, well, the customer ID in a car is the owner. So I type the noun, owner. So I do not type the verb, I just type the noun, owner, and not the verb, owns. Now, with just these two changes, I have the version 2 of my PowerPO workbook that I already saved in the data model. So if I go here, and I specify instead of 1, 2, and I pin this to 2, when I type show cars, as you see, now it is translated in show vehicles, because vehicle is the primary name. So the list of names is the list of synonyms that you have, but the first name is the primary name. If I wanted to put cars as primary name, despite the name of the original table, I could just invert the names. I could actually rename an entity, a table, or a column by just removing the original name. And what is used is what you put in the list of synonyms. Now, what about the owner? If I type show cars owned by Marco, this is what happened. It just works. Now, it's like show Marco vehicles, and I see here the list of cars owned by Marco. And of course, if I write Alberto, it just worked with Alberto. So it works with the content that we have. I can also type who owns a Ford. And now I see show owners that own a Ford vehicle. So the translation of my sentence in the grammar that has been understood by Power Query. So this is very easy to understand if you are looking at data that makes sense or not, because now we have a list of names that is easy to understand. But sometimes the result is a chart, is a number, is a calculation that is generated automatically. Fundamentally, Q&A is generating a Power View report dynamically. And every time it generates a query and a visualization and make a choice between these two things. So, just a second on the slides, and then we will go back to the demo for another detail. Q&A, search interpretations of the questions, then give a score to each interpretation and select the best interpretation, and then select the best visualization. So this is the sequence of steps that are automatically generated. And depending on the measure that you display, on the content that you display, it also selects a particular visualization type. So you can influence the best answer by changing the way this score is generated. And the way you influence the answer is by changing the data model. Relationships between entities are important, and by using synonyms. There is also another advanced technique that is the phrasing that is already available in Power BI but is not important today because it's not part of the Power Pivot data model. It's part of the Power BI customization of the data model that allows you to write sentences that describe relationships that do not exist in the data model. So what are the naming rules that we have to use? Fundamentally, the table name corresponds to the entity name. And please use a single word if possible, not use a sentence in the name of the table. And use the singular name. So do not use the plural, even if this has a tolerance. So if you use the plural, it is understood the same. But it is better if you use the singular. Avoid abbreviations, omit the data type in the column name. So in the column name, it should be only the name of the attribute. Don't use a double something with an acronym of the data type, something that is like, the way C++ programmers or C programmers name variables. Simple objects might be in a single column. So instead of doing this, as you see, str for the strings, int for the integer, double for the floating point, use this. So use names that contains the entire name, do not include abbreviations and acronyms and other things. Everything that is hidden in the data model is not visible to Q&A. When you hide a column, the column is unknown to Q&A. So you can keep internal information, but hide them if you don't want to confuse the Q&A engine. And if you have many relationships, also inactive relationships, remember that only active relationships are used. This is a problem for those models that have many-to-many and that have virtual relationships, so relationships that are not mapped to physical relationships. But this is a limitation that we have today. With the phrasing, this can be worked around a little bit. That is a feature that is available in Power BI. Use all the best practices that we have seen in Power Pivot. Use the sort by column, use the summarize by, use the data type. This helps Q&A to choose the right path. Use the data category. The data category, which is the property to say this URL is an image, is another property that is important for Q&A because you give semantic knowledge to your data. You may have a column that contains a name that is meaningful for your company, but you can say, this is the address of an user. And in this way, Q&A knows that it can use that column to display the position of a customer on a map. You provide metadata that improve the choice of the right visualization. Okay? And also the default field set and the default label are important to improve the visualization. So all the best practices that we have seen for Power Pivot and Power View are equally important and used for Q&A. Normalization for Q&A. One table per entity, star schema is okay. One column per attribute. So Power View does not examine the content of the column, and so Q&A does not do that. What does it mean? If you have a column that has a list of values or an address that contains city, address, country, all in a string, this is good for example, Power Map, but is not good for Q&A, unfortunately. And use verbs when you define the relationship, because the verb define... If you say that the relationship is owner, is the column is called owner, the relationship becomes an owns verb. So these are a few examples of the thing that you should avoid and do. Instead of naming columns, contact name, contact title, contact address, in this case it's better to normalize. Because if you have a too much denormalized model for Q&A, it's very bad. Because it is not able to recognize that there is a contact and there is a supplier, which are two different entities. If you have something like a property bag, so for example, a table that contains one row for each attribute with a value, and you have just property and value, this is called a property bag, not bad. No, sorry, not good. Use a more normalized data model like this one. One column per attribute. If you have, for example, in this case, city 1, city 2, city 3, better to use one table with the attributes, one column per attribute, and one table, another table that has the detail for all the list of the cities where you have, for example, the position for a particular hospital in this case. If you have an address that contains address, city, and country, it is better if you do this. If you think about this, these are good practices also for Power Pivot and Power View. And Q&A just emphasize the need for this normalization, because if you don't do this operation, you end up having a model that is very hard to query. Okay, this is the same, the list of composers can be translated into a table. Inactive relationships, this is a problem, better to use something like this one. For example, you could denormalize, imagine that you have departing airport and arrival airport. Just denormalize the name of the two airports in two different columns. Because for Q&A, this is better than having too many tables or inactive relationships. Q&A is not able to recognize that. We have seen the synonyms that is available. The phrasing is another tool that is available in the Power BI site. And in this URL, you will find a few informations about that. Okay, so we have seen... a set of best practices in data modeling for Power BI. Power BI is a set of services. We didn't mention Power Map, but fundamentally what we have seen for Power View is good for Power Map too. Power Map just uses a fraction of the information that we have in the data model. The only thing that I can add in Power Map is important having the single, at least one column that contains everything about the address. So state, address, country, and so on, both in separated columns and in a single column when you want to display the single point on a map without ambiguity about the country, for example. We have seen that there are specific patterns for Q&A, and the most important thing is the shape of your data model, relationships, tables, number of tables, and so on. There is a list of resources that you have for the track and other sessions that you can follow about Power BI and data visualization. And as usual, resources. And I suggest, I ask you to complete the evaluation form. There are many ways to do that. If you want to use the QR code, I keep this available if you want to use your mobile phone. Thank you very much for attending. I'm available if you have any questions.